Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin with a point that was mentioned in our previous shiur. Here the Gemara focuses on it and hence introduces the Gemara with Gufa. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text where you can align this with the arrow found back on Tes Vav Amud Beis, which is the source or from which we are quoting. Gufa, Oma Rabbi Ami Bar Tevyumi. Sochecha bevloi kelim psula. If a person covered his sukkah with bloi kelim, so it's unfit. My bloi kelim. What does that expression refer to? Omar Abaye, matlonios, fragments of fabric, she'ein bohem shalosh al shalosh. They lack in dimension 3 by 3 fingers. In other words, we're talking about very small pieces of fabric. Delo chazion, they are not fit. Lo la'aniyim velo la'ashirim, they're not fit for the impoverished, and certainly not for the wealthy. In other words, they have no function, and as a result, they are not mekabel tuma. So even though we're dealing with a substance that is not mekabel tuma, it nevertheless, in other words, it's not susceptible to defilement, which happens to be one of the qualifications of schach. Nevertheless, these matlonios are not suitable for schach purposes. The principle upon which this is based is something that we've seen in previous sukkis. Rashi mentions this point on Tes Vav Amud Beis, on the first wide line under the Gemara text, and that is that even though they're not mekabel tuma, Rashi's lashon there is kevan demikli asu, since they come, their origin is a vessel, they come from full pieces of fabric that are mekabel tuma, so gozur bo rabbonon. The rabbonon imposed a gezeira on this, and this was the svara that was used to explain why arukos hamita from our previous shiur also not eligible or not qualified for being used as schach material. The Gemara continues. Tanyo kavose d'Rabbi Ami bar Tevyumi. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Ami. Machselis shel shifa v'shel gemi. Shifa and gemi are different types of reeds. Machzelis is a mat, a woven, we'll call this a woven reed mat. Shioreha. Afapi shenifchisu mekishiura ein mesachachin bohen. If you have, let us say, a worn out reed mat, and you're left with a fragment of the original mat, even though the fragment in question is smaller, is less than the dimension that would have otherwise made it susceptible for or eligible for tuma absorption, since it, even though it lacks the ability right now because of its decreased dimension to mekabel tuma, nevertheless, since its origin is from a vessel, something that could have been mekabel tuma, the remnant is not suitable for schach either. Machzelis hakonim. A machzelis is a, as we saw before, a mat, konim, made of reeds. Gedolo mesachim bo, ketana im mesachim bo. If it's gedolo, large, then it's suitable for schach. And Rashi explains, a large mat is not viewed as a vessel. It is not designed for sitting on it, but rather its purpose is simply to use as a cover, a type of tarpaulin, if you will, here made of reed material, and as such, it's just a covering material, and that does not classify it as a vessel. A small mat, on the other hand, is designed for sitting, and hence it is a kli, and as a result, ein mesachen bo. It's classified as a vessel, and is therefore not suitable for schach. Rabbi Eliezer Omer af hi mekabelas tuma v'ein mesachen bo. Rabbi Eliezer is arguing with the Tanakama, so he is arguing with him regarding the large mat. And as such, even the large mat, in his estimation, unless otherwise stated, it's designed for sleeping or for reclining purposes, and hence it's classified as a vessel and not subject or not eligible to be used as schach. Hachoteid begodish. The Mishnah mentioned one who hollows out a heap of grains. Grains, referring specifically to the straw, to the stalks, the heap of hay. He hollows it out and does that for the purpose of making a sukkah. So the Mishnah said that's puzzle. And the reason for that is because in such a hollowed out heap of hay, so there is in fact a roof over his head right now. However, the roof was not placed upon the heap with the purpose of creating shade. There was no action of roofing, of covering the heap. As a result of the hollowing out, so we say in Hebrew, memela, the roof developed. Melo means on its own, but there was no action of placing upon the heap a roof. The Gemara will speak about a godish, a heap. However, the heap of hay in the Gemara's case is going to be something you can see in illustration 226 on page 45 of the Pirush Chai. The Pirush Chai is the book of illustrations accompanying this Masechta that we've been using since the beginning. Now, you can see there's an air pocket, if you will, or a gap in that picture. The lower part of the picture says Chalal Tefach. That means the height of that air pocket is a Tefach. So in that case, once you have a handbreadth of airspace for a length of a minimum size sukkah, 7 by 7 tefachim, 7 by 7 handbreadths length and width, and you have this air pocket. So in your mind's eye, we're saying that the hay above it was placed upon that air pocket, leaving the air pocket, of course, vacant. So in that case, we say that constitutes the making of a roof, and what I then go on to do is I go on to hollow it out. You can see what that would look like in picture 227, for example, except there the halal tefach started from the top, but nevertheless, if you would then increase the airspace so that you would have a minimum height of 10 tefachim eventually, but you started with an air pocket before any hollowing out was done. So the Gemara will tell us that is a kosher situation. By way of structure of Gemara, we have on the side a Nosei Mivneh heading where we have Roman numerals 1 and 2, and you'll see a house form in the Gemara as well. These are Shnei Lishonos, two versions Berav Huna, Bechoteit Begodish, concerning the hollowing out of a heap of straw. B'shnei Lishonos, in both versions, Yofiu Mekoros Sosrim V'Yishuvan, we'll see opposing Tanaic sources and the need to resolve them. The Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, Loi Shanu, Elo She'ein Shom Halal Tefach B'Meshech Shiva. The teaching of the Mishnah that Hachoteh Begodesh Ein Asukah, and it's not a sukkah, this was taught under the following qualification, provided there was no halal, no space of a tefach for over an area of 7 by 7 tefachim. And we referred you earlier to illustration 226. Avol, yesh shom halal tefach b'meshach shiva, if these dimensions exist at the outset, there there was an airspace of a tefach over an area of 7x7 tfachim, harei ze sukkah. That is considered an acceptable sukkah, even though you of course have to hollow out an additional 6 tfachim, an additional 9 tfachim, so that you'll have an airspace measuring 10 tfachim in height over, of course, as stated, 7x7 tfachim. It's also pointed out that there is no problem here of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. That we saw earlier in this mesifta. In fact, in the case of a too short sukkah, it had less than 10 tfachim from schach to the ground. The Gemara spoke about hollowing out the bottom or digging out the bottom of the ground, and that too was not a problem of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. As long as the some form of schach is in place, you know, it's a representation of schach is in place, and the walls are there as well, so there's no problem of hollowing something out to increase the space as far as ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. However, the main point is you have to have as a starting point a halal tefach. If that's your starting point, then the increase of the airspace to a height of 10 tefachim is not a problem. The Gemara continues. Tanya Nami Hoch. We have a Tanaic source supporting this. Achote begodish lasos lo sukkah reze sukkah. Someone who hollows out a godish in order to make a sukkah, it's a good sukkah. The Gemara asks, "Vanan tnan eino sukkah." But regarding that very same case, in Achote begodish, the Mishnah said it's not a good sukkah.
Hello, Lav.
Shma mino ke the Rav Huna. Shma mino. Rather, we must conclude like Rav Huna, namely, if it's a solid godish without any air pocket of a tefach, so eino sukkah. That's our Mishnah. As far as this brice is concerned that says chote begodish results in a good sukkah, that's where you started off with an air pocket of one tefach, a gap of a tefach. The Gemara continues with the second lashon, Iko deromi le mirma. The squiggle underline indicates an alternative. In this case, it's an alternative lashon. And this other version, instead of presenting the Tanaic sources at the end after Rav Chisda speaks, and using one to support, that is Rav Huna's point, this version opens up with the contradiction in the two Tanaic sources at the outset. So there are those, Iko deromi le mirma, there are those that present the sources as contradictory. Tanan hachote begodish las lo yisloi sukkah eino sukkah. Hollowing out a heap of straw to make a sukkah does not result in a kosher sukkah. Va'atanya reza sukkah. We have another source that says it is a good sukkah. Om ravuna lo kashi. Ravuna says there's no stira, there's no contradiction. Kan b'shiyesh shom halal tefach b'meshach shiva. Kan b'she'ein shom halal tefach b'meshach shiva. It's kosher in the first case where you started off with a halal of a tefach for an area of 7x7 tefachim, and then the subsequent hollowing out is fine. Khan, the Mishnah that says posel is b'shein shom halal tefach, there wasn't an airspace at the beginning b'meshach shiva for an area of 7x7 tefachim. So it was a solid block or mass of hay, then the subsequent hollowing out will not result in a kosher sukkah. In order to continue with the Mishnayos, with the next Mishnah, we want to turn our attention to illustration 229. And you'll see this on page 46 of the Pirush Chai. So before we learn the Mishnah itself, we glance at the illustrations. On 229, on page 46, you see we'll call it walls of a sukkah, but they don't quite reach the ground. So if the gap is 3 tefachim from the ground where a young goat could penetrate and enter, that is not, that's the case of Meshalsha Bitfanos. That's called starting from the top, lowering down, leaving the gap at the bottom. And we're going to have another case is in 230, the mechitzas reach the bottom, but they don't quite reach the schach. That's illustration 230. So now the Mishnah. HaMishalshel Defanos. Mishalshel has to do with lowering. So the Defanos, the walls start from the top and they continue downwards. Milamalo Lamata. So Im Gavo Minaret Shloshet Tefachim. If there remains a gap of three tvachim, psula. The sukkah is not a kosher sukkah. The sukkah walls, according to what the Mishnah is saying, have to function as a wall to keep things that you want to be kept in, stay in, and things that you want out, stay out. So if it can be penetrated by this young goat, the walls are not effective. It's not keeping out what's supposed to be kept out. Mi lamato lamala. The Mishnah continues with illustration. What's illustrated in 230 is the star. The wall started from the ground and went up with a gap between the top of the wall and the schach. Im gavoa asora tvachim kshera. If the walls are the walls from the ground upwards measure 10 tvachim, the sukkah is kosher. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kishem shilamato lamala asora tvachim. Just like when you're starting from above and working your way down, you need to have 10 tefachim. Kach milamalo. Let's go over that point again. Shem shemilamato lamalo. Just like when you're making a normal wall, starting from the ground, working up, it has to have a minimum height of 10 tefachim. Kach milamalo lamato asor tefachim. So too, when you're starting above, working your way down with the wall, it has to have 10 tefachim. And in other words, it's called mechitza tluya materes. So as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, as long as you have from the schach working down 10 tefachim of wall, it's kosher. There might be a big gap on the bottom. That doesn't bother Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi represents an opinion that holds mechitza tluya materes, that a suspended wall is effective. It's matir. As we look at the Mishnah before going on into the Gemara, you notice that according to the Tanna Kamma, if there is a gap of three tefachim between the ground and the wall, it is unkosher as a sukkah. According to Rabbi Yossi, that is not a problem. As long as you have 10 tefachim of wall, even if it's descending from the schach downwards, the sukkah is okay. B'mai komifli. What is the point of machlokas? What are they arguing about? Answer. Mor sovar mechitza tluya materes. Rabbi Yossi holds that a descending wall, a suspended wall, is considered an enclosure. It's matir. It allows the sukkah, in this case, to be an effective sukkah. Umor sovar mechitza tluya eino materes. And the Tanakhava holds that a suspended wall is not matir. Tanan hosom. We continue with a Tanaic source, and we should note, off the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, which we've also indicated goes ad sof omid beis. In other words, this topic will keep us occupied till the end of omid beis. Mechitza tluya, the suspended wall. Now, we've already started this discussion, number one, in the context of sukkah, and number two, b'shabbos, in the context of Shabbos, and we'll be more specific as we go on in the Gemara. Now, we have a Tanaic source, and along with this, we have another subtopic heading. We're going to see a machlokas tanoim, be'inyan mechitza tluya me'al bor ben shnei chatzeros. Nothing better than going to an illustration, and we have one, illustration 231 in the Pirush Chai, on page 46. What do we see? We see a courtyard, chotzer, that's divided by a wall, forming in effect two courtyards without any entrance option between the two courtyards. So as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, as far as the laws of Shabbos, these are two separate courtyards, and they cannot join together because there is no access point. So an Eruv Chatzeros cannot be made joining together these two courtyards. The pit that you see in the middle is filled with water, and the issue is, can water be drawn from this pit by members of one of either chotzer? So concerning this, we're going to see a machlokes tanoim. So in our note, we say, concerning this bor that has a wall going across its surface, as you can see illustrated, I bo'inon shehe hamachitza nasis b'myuchad l'mayim, do we require the wall dividing that pit to be made specifically for the water? In addition to dividing the chotzer, must there be an element of the wall that's specifically designed for the water in order to allow drawing from the pit? Osagi b'kach, or it is, maybe it's enough, shehu chotzeitz bein shnei chotzer. So if you have a wall that in effect divides the two chatzeros. In other words, the wall is effective in dividing the two chatzeros so that each chatzer becomes a separate entity. And in the event that you had only, let's say, one house opening to each chatzer, so they would be able to carry from the house to the courtyard. If there were no wall there, so you would have a minimum of two houses opening into one courtyard. And as far as the laws of Shabbos are concerned, if you don't make an Eruv Chatzeros, so you would not be allowed to carry from the house, which is a strictly private domain, to a Chotzer, which is a semi-private domain. It's not a Rishus HaRabim, but it is a private area that has a number of owners opening into it. So one opinion is going to say that it's enough that the wall is constructed like it is in 231 without any specific attention paid to the pit per se. There is another school of thought that says that you cannot draw water from the pit under such circumstances, because water that you are going to get into your pail is, by the nature of water, it's all mixed together, so you're getting water in that pail from the other side of the wall, from underneath the other side of the wall, from the other chotzer. And as we said, as far as the laws of Shabbos are concerned, you cannot carry from one chotzer to another if you don't have an Eruv Chatzeros. And in this case, we said you can't even make an Eruv Chatzeros because there's no access point. So the rabbinic laws of Shabbos say you can't carry or transfer items from one chotzer to the other, from one courtyard to the other. However, the fact that you have a wall dividing the two chatzeros would enable me, according to one school of thought, would enable me to draw water from the pit, and the water I draw from the pit is said to be coming from my side, so to speak, that the wall in your mind's eye goes down. Again, it's abstract, but legally speaking, it goes down dividing the pit. Another school of thought says that no, you've got to have special attention paid to the pit itself, and that could be accomplished by having a part of the wall descending into the pit, into the rim of the pit, beneath the surface of the pit, beneath the surface of the chotzer, into the pit. Now, where or how far down that would be, so there are different options for that. Our sugi here is not going to get too involved with that level of detail, but you have illustrations, 232 and 233, and several the other illustrations. Those are cross-section pictures. So if you're looking at 232, that's a cross-section of the wall, as you're looking, as we say, from a cross-section. So you see the wall is descending into the pit as well. Not just dividing the chotzer, but into the pit as well. So I hope everyone has a strong enough imagination to see that 232 is a cross section of what you see in 231. It's just that the bottom part of the wall in 231 that's over the pit extends into the rim of the pit downwards. Could be downwards, but still quite a bit above the surface of the water, or one might insist it has to be down further down into the to the surface of the water, or even below that. But as we said in our sugi, as opposed to the Gemara in Shabbos, here we don't get involved in that level of detail. There it is discussed at greater length. But now, that with that introduction in mind, we mentioned other sukkis. We also find this reference to this in Maseches Erevin. However, for our purposes, let's continue in the Gemara. Four lines from the bottom. Tanan Hosam Borshe Bein Shtei Chatzeros, a pit that is between two courtyards. Ein Memalin Mimeno B'Shabbos, one is not to draw water from the pit on Shabbos, this pit that's between the two Chatzeros. Ela Im Kein Osa Lo Mechitza Asora Tvachim, unless a wall having a height of 10 Tvachim is made. Bein milamalo, bein milamato, bein besoch ogno. Now here the reading is a little tricky because the words bein on the second to last line, bein milamato, is whether it is above the surface of the water or milamato, down near the surface of the water. And the next word, the first one on the last line, bein, besohoda, means that in either case it has to be within the rim of the pit. And you can see this if you read Rashi carefully on the third line under the Gemara, where he says, bein mitoch ogno, klomar, bein milamalo, rochok minamayim, whether it be far and from the surface. Milamal is far from the surface of the water. Ubovad shite besoch ogno shabor. The muchamilsi b'shvil oigin hamayim nasis. And the point being is that when you have a wall that's made and descends into the rim of the bor, it shows that it's a wall designed for the water. So that's the Tanakama's approach. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Shimon Lil, he presents a machlokas, an earlier machlokas, Beishamai Omrim, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Beishamai Omrim, Milemala, who Beis Hillel Omrim, Milemata. We're here, we're just going to translate, because as we said, the Gemara in Erevin gets into more detail. So Beishamai says that it has to be above, meaning within the surface, within the rim of the bor, but above the water surface. And Beis Hillel says milamato, down below. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient, and he says lo tehei mechitza gedoyla min hakosel shebeinehem. Rabbi Yehuda expresses the opinion that it is enough that a wall serving the water is the same wall that serves to divide the chatzeros. And Rashi says this clearly on the second line from the top, min ha-kosel shebeinehem, that wall, hanasis lochutz, lochutz means to divide, like chotzeitz or chatzitza, the wall that is made lochutz, bein ha-chatzeros, to divide the courtyards, utluyo alpenei pi habor, and is suspended above the rim of the pit, even if it was not made for the water. He is of the opinion that suspended walls allow for whatever they allow, in this case allow the carrying, all forms of carrying, including the drawing of the water from the pit, and then in your mind's eye, the water that's drawn from your side of the pit, from where you're standing on your side of the rim, is coming from your side of the pit. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabo Babrachana Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda Beshitas Rabbi Yossi Omra. Rabbi Yehuda in this Tanaic source is in lines with Rabbi Yossi that we saw in the Mishnah concerning the sukkah. What did Rabbi Yehuda say just now? He said the wall that runs above the surface of the pit, above the rim, in other words, it doesn't descend into the rim, is a clear case of a suspended wall. The wall was not made specifically for the water, but rather it was made to divide the chatzeros, and as far as the pit is concerned, it's a suspended wall. And that is in the spirit of Rabbi Yossi, who spoke in our mission about the suspended wall of the sukkah as being kosher. as the Gemara goes on to say, the Omar, Rabbi Yossi had said, Mechitza Tluya Materis. A suspended wall is matir, allows, causes permission, causes leniency or permission. The Gemara responds to the observation made by Rabbi Bar Bar Chana just now and says, Veloi hi. The Gemara rejects this parallel, the paralleling of Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbi Yossi. Notice this is a long dechia, a long rejection. Velo hi. Lo Rabbi Yehuda sofar lo k'Rabbi Yossi. Velo Rabbi Yossi sofar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Neither one necessarily subscribes to the other one. The Gemara elaborates. Lo Rabbi Yehuda sofar lo k'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda of our Tanaic source we just saw with the water and the pit and the chatzeros doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. Ad kan lo k'Rabbi Yehuda hasam. Rabbi Yehuda till now is lenient, but that's only there in the case of the pit of water between the chatzeros. Elo be'iruvei chatzeros to Rabbonan. The realm under question is a rabbinic realm. The need for joining together courtyards when one is able to join them together, the prohibition of carrying from a private domain to a public domain, from a private domain to a semi-private domain is only a rabbinic restriction. So this realm that we call Eruvei Chatzeros, or we should say not the realm, but rather the topic of Eruvei Chatzeros, is a rabbinic topic. And therefore, there's room for leniency. Avol hacha. But here in our Mishnah, Sukkah d'Oraisa, Sukkah which is a Torah-based law, lo. Rabbi Yehuda in the that we just saw wouldn't be lenient to allow a suspended wall in the case of Sukkah. Maybe Rabbi Yossi allows it, but not Rabbi Yehuda. Velo Rabbi Yossi sofar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, and the other way around as well. Rabbi Yossi would not subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's leniency. Ah, kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi hacha. Rabbi Yossi spoke about a suspended wall as being effective elo b'sukkah, only in the case of Sukkah. The mitzvahs asay, the strength or the category of mitzvah under which sukkah falls is the realm of mitzvahs asay, positive commands. And a positive command is viewed as a, we'll say, for lack of better expression, a lighter realm, a more lenient realm, insofar as that it does not carry with it any punishments or court-inflicted punishments. There's no, if one violates a positive command, so of course the Almighty takes that into consideration, but courts have no jurisdiction over that. Aval Shabbos disur skila lo. But with regard to the realm of Shabbos, albeit Eruvin or Mechitz, Eruvei Chatzeros is a rabbinic element, but it's part of a realm of Shabbos, part of the Shabbos realm. So it's included in the umbrella of Shabbos laws, and Shabbos is potentially has a death penalty attached to it. One who violates Shabbos, if he violates a Torah precept of Shabbos, a loisase of Shabbos, potentially can be guilty of execution. So even though Eruv Chatzeres per se is only rabbinic, but it's under the realm of a of an Isur Ski law. So there, Rabbi Yossi would not be lenient. He wouldn't allow the suspended wall over the pit. So at this point, we're establishing that Rabbi Yossi, with regard to Shabbos, is going to be would be more machmir than Rabbi Yehuda. So let's say this again. In other words, as a setup for the continuation of this point, Rabbi Yossi is not going to allow a mechitza tluya with regard to Shabbos matters. Ve'im tomar. And you might want to ask, there is an incident that the Gemara will share a little later. That Maisa, the incident that took place in Tzipori. Now Tzipori was a community, the head of which was Rabbi Yossi. So the incident that took place in Tzipori was a Shabbos incident where they relied upon a suspended wall. Who would give license to that? After we just got finished saying that Rabbi Yossi does not allow the suspended wall in Shabbos. So the Gemara clarifies, lo al pi Rabbi Yossi, the incident there didn't take place according to Rabbi Yossi's ruling, lo al pi Rabbi Yishmoel b'Rabbi Yossi. Interesting. His son departed from the father's ways, and the son, Rabbi Yishmoel b'Rabbi Yossi, was lenient and allowed the suspended wall in Tzipori involving a story of Shabbos. And the Gemara asks, my Maisa, and what's the Maisa you're referring to? So this also, we have a long marking to show you the length of the Maisa, but before we look at the Gemara, let's take advantage of an illustration. 237, the bottom of page 47. What do we see in this picture? We see a courtyard, and there are a number of houses that open into this courtyard. If no Eruv Chatzeros was made, that means the different members of the Chatzer did not contribute to a joint pot of food, a joint basket of bread. If they didn't make a bread contribution, so there is a prohibition of carrying from the houses, which are strictly private domains, to the Chatzer, which is a semi-private domain. Because we don't, that's the basic rule or the theme of Eruv Chatzeros is on the rabbis, in anticipation of the Iser Doraisa of carrying from a house into a street, which is an Iser Doraisa, carrying from a private domain to a public domain, the rabbi said, you know, we don't want you to automatically be allowed to carry from a strictly private domain to a semi-private domain. And therefore they instituted Eruv Chatzeros to solve that problem, we'll say. In the picture, though, the story has it that the people used to, for safekeeping, store the Torah scroll, the Sefer Torah, in a private house, and when they needed it for Torah reading in the shul, in the synagogue, they would take it from the house to the synagogue. In a case like 237, where you have a chotzer with many houses opening into the chotzer, it would be usur to carry from the house into the chotzer, and then carrying the Sefer Torah from the house to the synagogue, to the base Knesset. So what they noticed, what happened there was some poles with a string running across, and suspended from that were sheets. The sheets were suspended, as you can see in the diagram, and they weren't dragging on the ground. There was a gap between them, between the bottom of the sheet and the floor. But this makeshift wall, if you will, this mechitza, served to isolate the house in which the Sefer Torah was stored, isolate it from the rest of the houses, so that all that you were left with was one private domain and the shul. The shul is not considered a domicile, so it doesn't interfere with our considerations. Now, if you have a totally private courtyard, namely a house and an enclosed courtyard, and there are no other people that are party to that courtyard, so you can carry from the house into the courtyard. In this illustration, what have we accomplished? By relying on the suspended wall, the sheets that were there, like you see in the picture, the house in which the Sefer Torah was stored, that corner house, became isolated, separated from the rest of the party, so they were able to carry, even though no Eruv Chatzeros was made over there. That was actually a major point we didn't emphasize before. This was a courtyard where no Eruv Chatzeros was made. So without the mechitza there, without that wall, they wouldn't be allowed to carry from the house where the Sefer Torah was, carrying it to the shul. Now, let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, and in reference to what was the Maisa, Dechi Osa Rav Dimi, Omar Rav Dimi came, he told the following story. Once they didn't bring the Sefer Torah on Friday into the shul. During the week, the Sefer Torah was kept in the house for safekeeping, and it seems from this that they would bring it to the shul on Friday. They didn't do it. Though lemochor, the next day, the next word is going to be changed later in the Gemara, but in the meantime, the next day, Pirsu Sadinim Agabi Ha'amudim Ve'viu Sefer Torah V'korubo. On Shabbos day, they carried sheets, they brought sheets from their houses, spread them over the poles, and created a mechitza isolating the house in which the Sefer Torah was stored, and they were able to carry the Sefer Torah to the shul because the house was isolated. The Gemara asks, "Pirsu salka daitoch meichon avim b'Shabbos? What do you mean they spread out the sheets on the poles on Shabbos? Where did they bring the sheets from? If before the sheets were there, they would have had to carry them from their houses to the poles." And we said, we just got finished saying that a chotzer where there was no Erev Chatzeros, you couldn't carry in that Chatzer. So the Gemara explains, it refines the wording. Elo Motsu Sedinim Prusim. They found sheets hung up that were suspended and above the ground. Al Gabi Hoamudim, on the poles. And this, they found them, they were suspended from Erev Shabbos. And Veviu Sefer Torah v'korubo, and as a result of that mechitza tluya, they brought the Sefer Torah from the place of storage to the shul and read from it. So at this point, we finish what we call the long point, the long dechia, where what Rabba Bar Bachana Rabbi Yochanan tried to do on the third, fourth line from the top to parallel Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbi Yossi, we say that is not the case. Rabbi Yehuda says his din by Eruv Chatzeres, which is the Rabbonon, and wouldn't say it by Sukkah, which is Doraisa. And Rabbi Yossi says the Mechitza Tluya works by Sukkah, which is a Mitzvah Saseh, and does not work in the Shabbos realm, which has a potential of Skila. Omar Rav Chista, Omar Avini, we should look at illustration 242, and this you can see on page 48 of the Pirush Chai. What are we looking at? In illustration 242, we're looking at a sukkah that the illustration doesn't indicate this, but we're going to assume right now that that the sukkah here is 10 tfachim tall, and you see a mat, a machzeles, that measures 4 and a mashuhu that is suspended within 3 tfachim of the ground and within 3 tfachim of the schach. Now, when we have something that's within 3 tfachim, a principle known as lovud applies. Lovud means attached, so that the mechitza here is viewed as attached, so that you have basically a solid wall, legally speaking, in picture 242. So we read the Gemara. Omar Rav Chista, Omar Ravimi, Machzeles Arbo Mashu, Materes Besuka, Mishum Doifen. A wall measuring 4 and a fraction is Matir in a sukkah that's 10 tfachim tall, and it works as a wall. Hechi Ovid, what should he do? Toli le beemtza. He suspends the mat in the middle. Pochus mishlosh lemato upochus mishlosh lemalo. It's within 3 of the ground and within 3 of the schach. V'chopochus mishlosh kelovud domi. And whenever you have something within 3 tfachim of something else, they are said to be attached. The maras pshita. This is obvious. we know the rules of Lovod already, and once you know those rules, so just feeding in the numbers, you have 10 tochim of sukkah height, 4 plus of wall, you've got it. So what do I really need Rav Chisda's teaching for? Answer, Mahu detema chad lovud amrinon, tre lovud lo amrinon. Without Rav Chisda, I might have thought that we apply lovud, if necessary, only to create one attachment. But to create two attachments, like this is doing, where it's attaching the wall to the ground and to the schach, maybe that we wouldn't say. Komash Malon, so Rav Chisda tells us that even if you need to apply two lovuds, we will do so. Meisvei, the Gemara asks a question, and the illustration that would be necessary for appreciating this, but not to look too closely right now at the illustration, is 243. The source says as follows: Machzelis shiva umashu materas besuka mishum doifen. A machzelis, a mat that measures 7 and a mashahu, that will be effective in creating a wall. Now, when you say 7 and a mashahu, that automatically conjures up the idea of 3 minus a mashahu. It's one lovud. It's like one per customer. You see here, from the fact that we're insisting on, if you have a we'll call minimum size mat, it has to be a minimum of 7 in mashu, not like Rav Chisda said 4 in mashu. Why 7 in mashu? Because with 7 in mashu plus 3 minus mashu, which is the equivalent of lovud, one lovud we will allow you. The Gemara says this isn't a question. Ki tanya hahi besuka gedoyla. The source that says 7 in a mashu is sufficient, that's when you're dealing with a very tall sukkah. And I'm going to end up attaching this mat that's going to serve as the wall close to the schach, within 3 tvachim of the schach. Omai komash malon. And what are we being informed of? The Mishalshalin Defanos Milamalo Lamato Karabiosi. That we, Mishalshalin means we lower, we lower walls, meaning the wall starting from close to the schach working down, that we accept that and as per the teaching of Rabiosi that said that a mechitza tluya is matir by a sukkah. So that this source simply is here to reflect the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Omar Rabbi Ami, pas arbo mashu matir besuka mishum doifen. A board measuring 4 and a fraction, assuming of course that the board is 10 tvachim tall, it's 10 tvachim tall, and you can see an illustration of this, illustration 244, a board measuring 10 tvachim by 4 and a mashahu is matir as a wall. Umoikim law bepochos mishloisha tvachim somach ledoifen, and you will position it within 3 tvachim of the perpendicular wall, the chol pochos mishloisha samach ledoifen kilovodomi, and all distancing of less than 3 tfachim from near the adjacent wall is considered as if it's attached. My komash molon, what does Rav Ami reveal to me? What is the significance of his teaching? Ha komash molon, what he is telling me is Shiur meshech sukkah, the area, the measure of the width and length of a sukkah, is shiur. Let's say shiur meshech sukkah ketana is shiva, 7 tvachim. So that we speak about the dimensions of a minimum size sukkah. So it would have to, of course, be no less than 10 tvachim in height, and the floor space measuring no less than 7 by 7 tfachim. And that's what I learn from Rabbi Yossi. Before we conclude Let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.